This podcast is part of the Acast Creator Network.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
On today's Friday podcast, disappointing week last week for us. Forrest also get docked 4 points. We react to that. Chris brings an unfortunately named UFC fighter to the table. And we have our favourite shirt of the season. Hello and welcome to that Peter Crouch podcast with me, Peter Crouch, Chris Stark, and Notorious SID with me as well. The Friday pod, I've been called into question again. Not fantastic results for us, but I have to say, I think there was a few shocks in there.
Yeah. I've been getting a bit of stick from the Fulham fans. And yeah, rightly so.
We all went for Spurs.
We all went for Spurs, especially after the weekend before.
I mean, well, it's the best result of the season.
Dispatched Villa,
who have been unbelievable at home. Yeah. And then to go and lose to Fulham, I just didn't see that one coming, especially 3-0, absolute drubbing.
Mm. And we did question you at the time on that, Sids, didn't we? We did sort of offer you a chance to rethink.
You did.
No, it was a shocker all round for us.
Burnley beating, who've won 2 games all season at home, beating Brentford.
Yeah, I mean, Brentford had a man sent off regularly in the first 6 minutes. That flipped the game on its head. So, and then the United won Liverpool
4-3. What a game! I mean, we all picked Liverpool, and I think that was the
incredible game. One of the games of the season so far. Surely
it was good. What, that game?
Yeah,
brilliant. I said 3-2. To Liverpool, and I thought it was going to be goals. When that goal went in for United, I was like, get in there. Yeah. And I can imagine you saying, for fuck's sake, both of you. But Liverpool, so close to getting a winner.
Credit to them, they were just on the front foot. Like, what was it? Anthony at left back, Bruno Fernandes, centre half.
Yeah.
Harry Maguire was going forward.
They're two recognised defenders, I think it was, on the pitch.
Did you see the video of Anthony? It looked like he was a bit unhappy at being told to go to left back. And you can't hear anything in this video, but going by the caption at least, it was saying that Rashford was sort of telling him to just get on with it.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I mean, it worked, didn't it? It worked all round.
Did well, I thought, at left back as well.
Yeah. An amazing game. And how's your week been, boys, as well?
All good.
Yeah. Aside from the nil points in our league.
Yeah, I had a really good, it was my daughter's birthday on the weekend. On Saturday, she was 13. We had a big, kind of big tent, I suppose it was, in the garden. Almost like Glastonbury. Yeah, nice. DJ in there.
It wasn't a Crouch Fest, was it? I suppose it sort of
felt like a mini Crouch Fest. Getting us started early. She enjoyed it. She had the time of her life. Obviously, kids all went home at 9 o'clock, and the adults kind of carried on a little bit in there. Paid the DJ to stay for another hour.
Did you?
Put on some old classics.
But was the DJ playing slightly more? Was it slightly more kiddie before?
It was what's going on at the moment, current affairs, current tunes. Quite a good little playlist, to be fair. It was enjoyable, but all the kind of main stuff that you'd know.
Love that.
And then we took it right back. We stripped it back to the 80s after.
Brilliant. Did you?
Oh, it was brilliant, yeah.
What, with the DJ or?
The DJ, with the DJ. My little girl, my younger little girl, 8 as well, she done a little song on the karaoke machine. Brilliant. Great night.
Oh, that's fun.
So I'm back stronger, as you'd say, for my illness.
Well, yeah, because you weren't well at all recently. And really good to have
back
you.
Back stronger.
Back fighting fit.
Feel great.
You look good.
Thanks.
Okay then, any other business, Sids, before we crack on into the football?
What was the other weekend? I had a night out Saturday night. She actually wanted to kick on, the missus. She was like, let's go for another drink. I was ready for bed.
Yeah.
I was, but she wanted to go, so.
Did Steve slept well?
Steve slept well in the car on the way home.
One other thing as well, just Coventry. Like, what an amazing performance that was as well from them beating Wolves. Mm. I thought that was a great win. That
he's done remarkable, Mark Robbins. Yeah. There, it's about time he's getting a bit of recognition for that, because even the way that they're playing football, I mean, I know we know Wolves is a massive pitch as well. Watch the game. Mm. Great game of football, that.
A couple of interesting decisions in that game as well. But very quick bit of any other business before we crack on to the weekend's football. The you know, we've been talking quite a lot recently on the podcast about commentary.
Yep.
Peter Drury in particular. I saw a clip doing the rounds. It's not a football commentary. It's off, I think, UFC commentary, but I really want to play it to you boys. Because, you know, we got you both commentating on some classic goals recently. This is a UFC fighter, I think it is, called Mianus.
That's his name?
Yeah. Or Minus, I think it is.
Let's stick with the first one.
Do you want to hear the commentary, though? Because it's extraordinary.
Is it really?
Trying to slice Mianus open. Testing that midsection of Mianus. Mianus getting beaten on. What's the back of the head? Could be in trouble here, Mianus. And Mianus is relaxed here, Pat. Still riding the back of Mianus. Good defense here from Mianus. Mianus flattened out. Mianus flat on the canvas. We are ready to rock and roll. Second round of action. There is a cut on Mianus. Mianus is ready to pounce here. The ref shoots in early. Mianus defends it. Mianus is in a bit of pain here.
You watch one, I'll watch the other, Michael.
I'll watch Mianus.
No way.
He's taking it from Scabe, and the ringside physician has just popped in there to look at Mianus. Mianus trying to...
Oh, no, no. Surely.
The referee saying, stay busy, Danny. Is that for you, Mianus, Mianus? Mianus could be in trouble. Mianus just stuck here. And he pops the head out. Mianus all bloodied up here.
Mianus is bloody well.
All over Chavez's chest.
Mianus just bleeding all over Chavez.
We'll leave it there. But
wow.
Surely there was a checklist they've just ticked off as they've gone by.
Having a laugh.
I don't know.
I'm joking.
I don't know if it's just we've been talking about commentary and you start getting served more and more. Yeah. And that's a classic there from my
just before we start, boys, I got obviously talk about commentary. I got the words we've been on about with Susie Dent, and you know, the ones that are used in football and not really anywhere else. And Panache. Got panache in,
did you get it in there?
I got it in. Well done, mate. Danny Welbeck scored an absolute weldy in the European game last Thursday, and it was in.
Was it done? Yeah. Was it done with panache?
Oh, it was done. You know, and Welbeck cuts in, and look at this. He puts it in the back of the net with style and panache.
Oh, lovely! Yeah. Well done, Sam.
Yeah, it was great pass. So there'll be more there to come from that as well.
All right. Yeah, one thing just quite topical as well at time recording. Forest have been docked 4 points, I believe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What are your thoughts on that?
Well, that puts them into the relegation. Luton slips above them. It was coming. We knew it was coming. It was just a matter of how many points it was going to be. I covered their game on the weekend, Forest Luton, 1-1. And it wasn't a great game.
Not a great game.
No, there was no panache in there.
No, there's not. No aplomb.
Was there any aplomb?
There was none of that. So it's going to get really tight down the bottom now. It's. I mean, I still don't see Burnley getting out of it, and Sheffield are gone. But yeah, Nottingham Forest down. It's
really puts them like with Luton as well. Like it feels like they've got a bit about them now, haven't they? Mm. And I mean, it'd be incredible if they did stay up.
Yeah, I'm assuming they appeal this, and because we have seen other points getting reversed as well. So I'm not totally sure what's going to happen there.
Okay, we'll fly into it. Next part of the podcast is supported by Paddy Power. It's their big weekend fixture. Of course, we've still got the Paddy Power boosts.
Mm.
Paddy points is massive. You apply this boost to double your points that week. You've got the Paddy's predictor.
Yep.
Get advice from one of Paddy's expert traders on predictions. And then you've got phone of power. The lads can call one sporting expert in their phone book for advice. If they don't answer, though, that boost is lost. And remember, the big Paddy Power forfeit's still on. So we just need some suggestions in the socials for this. I'm slightly concerned because I am now bottom.
Yeah.
There was a good forfeit that was suggested, because we have been talking about cows and Anderson's cows and milking cows and various cow-related things on the podcast of late. I don't know if we read out that suggestion, which was that the loser of the league drinks straight from the udder.
Oh, under the udder.
Yeah, under the udder.
Jesus Christ.
You love a nipple.
But I think we can go bigger than that. So, and that's really why Paddy Power here.
My issue is these things go viral. I mean, it feels like the fella with the cat in Big Brother. Do you know what I mean?
George Galloway.
George Galloway. It could all get a bit weird, couldn't it?
Yeah, and we don't need it. I think with this, we could go scale. Like, think big. Mm. Think, like, rather than just like...
There's no...
It doesn't have to be another.
There's no ceiling, is there, with Paddy Power. We know that. So, you know, they can produce whatever the punters want.
All right, listen. All right, get them in, please, for any forfeits. The first one, obviously, which is supported by Paddy Power, the big weekend fixture is England versus Brazil. That is a massive game, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a big game, this. Huge. I didn't realise I was playing.
You know what? Because you're so into, like, the Premier League.
Yeah.
Like, these friendlies and things like that. It's like, I had no clue either.
Well, I knew that it was an England game, but I didn't know it was against Brazil.
We got Brazil and Belgium, two absolute monsters at Wembley.
Yeah.
Which would be good. All right, so England to win, 10 to 11. £10 gets you £19.09 back. Mm. Draws 5 to 2. Brazil are outsiders at 23 to 10. You can have Brazil to win 1-0 as 10 to 1. Draws 9 to 1.
Mm. Yeah, it's always hard, isn't it? Internationals, I really find them hard. You don't know who's playing, injuries.
I'm not across like Brazil. Do you know what I mean, really? No. Like, I don't watch a lot of international football.
I mean,
other than England, do you?
No.
If you look at this stat here, just quickly, England won just one of their 11 previous meetings with Brazil. 6 draws and 4 losses.
Yeah.
What about this? England won their last 11 international friendlies at home.
Well...
Yeah.
There we are.
Yeah. But Brazil's a different proposition, no?
Well, ordinarily, I would say so. I would agree with you. But they seem to be favourites in here. You're saying there's a good thing going with this England team at the moment.
Yes.
We should be hitting that with a bit more confidence.
That's what I think. I think bring on Brazil.
Bring on Brazil.
Yeah. I agree. Because you look at friendlies, I think pre-Christmas, right? Now it's post-Christmas, it's the new year. It's now the start for the build-up for the Euros. I know they all are beforehand, but it just feels now players are probably looking at it going, I need to cement my place.
See, like what, you know, it's a bit of a statement of intent with, I know they're only friendlies, but it's Brazil and Belgium.
Mm.
How did you feel playing against Brazil? Did it always feel a little bit special?
Yeah, I remember.
Only because that generation of players that we all loved from Brazil, they were always so good.
Was special.
Yeah.
I remember playing them at Wembley once and
wow.
I think he ended up playing Heskey. It's like Heskey's comeback instead of me. I was fuming. Love to play Brazil.
You want to play against Brazil, don't you?
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
It's iconic, isn't it?
Unreal.
Yeah.
Love Brazil. I had the kit when I was a kid.
Yeah.
I think it might have been a moody one though.
Do you know what? I think it is because how hard are they to get hold of?
Get hold of one. I think it was a moody one. It just had... It's just yellow with blue shorts.
And it was yellow and blue shorts with one star on it. Yeah. They played by the World Cup 3 times.
I think it was a bit of a Jekyll one, if I'm honest. Oh, well.
I remember being very, very young and my mum buying me a Man U kit because I was really, really young. And bless you, it was like, kits are expensive, aren't they? And she really wasn't into her football or anything like that. So she went down to this sports shop in East Coast. I don't think it's there anymore. And I ended up with a Man U kit where she'd ironed the badge onto a red shirt. And I was like...
What, like a red Ben Sherman?
That's not it.
Put the United kit on it.
That's not it.
Wow. So like a red T-shirt, she's just put the badge on.
It was pretty much a red T-shirt with a Man U badge on it. It wasn't... There was no kit manufacturer on that.
Did you wear it?
Of course I did. Yeah, I would have loved it at the time, I think. But it was... look back on that. I was like, Mum, that... Not sure. It wasn't legit. Did you have the R9s as well? Were they real?
I did actually. Yeah,
real ones.
R9s.
Did you get real ones?
I got real with the boots.
Yeah.
I had real ones. Yeah, yeah. Well, I was playing for Tottenham at the time.
Oh shit! Yeah, of course.
So I did.
Wow.
I got those. I remember scoring in them. My first ever game live on Sky was the FA Premier Youth League final under-19s against Arsenal.
Yeah.
I scored at Highbury.
Yeah, I remember that game.
We lost 2-0 at Wild Lane.
Yeah.
And then I scored. We won 1-0.
I remember that game.
Remember that?
In R9s?
In R9s, yeah.
Wow.
And obviously the first game wasn't televised. Mm. We lost 2-0. So obviously Arsenal won it, but we won on the game on Sky and I scored.
That was a big moment. You come out looking great.
Well, I was happy with it because it was the game everyone was watching. And all my mates, everyone.
Done.
It was good. That was a good Arsenal team, that.
Yeah.
What were we saying about this one then, boys?
Yeah, sorry, lost myself there.
Yeah.
At Wembley.
R9s. Icy goals.
Mm-hmm.
Icy goals. I know England are really strong at the moment, and it being at Wembley, I know we're good, but I just see it's been a draw.
Do you?
I see it's been a draw, and I'm going to go for a 2-2 draw.
2-2.
Going to go for a
2-2 draw. One.
Yeah.
Okay.
I've looked at what you've wrote there, and I've got the same.
Have we got the same, have we, Pete?
I have
2-1.
Yeah.
2-1 England win.
I feel like going different to you, though.
Do you think obviously it's easy to say frustrating. Do you think we're sort of expecting to do better there?
Yeah, no, I want us to win, but I just think it's Brazil. They've got to bring a bit of flair. And
no, they've got so many amazing players, haven't they?
Mm. Sid, what was your take on all the Ben White stuff this week as well? And there's been a lot of chat about that.
No, I mean, I never played for England. I'd give anything to have played for England. So yeah, it's disappointing, but each their own. Like if he's got his own, reasons for it, then it is what it is. I know he cares a lot about football. There's a lot of stuff that goes around about him not caring about football, and I think he's one of them players that football's probably not the first thing and the foremost thing in his mind. But there's a lot of people like that,
playing really well, isn't he?
He's playing unbelievably well.
I think we don't know people's circumstances.
Exactly.
But I know that when I played for England, which is over a 5-year period, I don't think I missed many squads, if any, over that 5-year period. There are players that come in that don't like it, that don't like being there.
We've had players on this podcast that either, as you said, Sid, like football is important to them, but not the most important thing. And they don't want maybe some of the pressure or anything like that comes with, as you say, individual circumstances. But equally, there's been players that have come on this podcast that have spoken about maybe not having that certainty within their place in that England squad and therefore just deciding that
they don't want to do it. Yeah. From it. And also, if you're kind of don't feel like you're going to get a game, and listen, I'm not like sticking up for him at all because I think it's the wrong decision, totally. Mm. I don't agree with his decision. I wouldn't do it. But what I am saying is I've seen actual players that come in and like sit in a room like all day, don't really socialise, don't come down. And you think, where are they? And they're just kind of alone with their thoughts for those 10 days, train, go back to the room and just think. Yeah. And I think it can be at times difficult for them. Obviously, that wasn't my character, but there are people that do have that. That does happen.
There must be something deeper to it because that you're going to receive all the attention for something like that.
And it's a shame because he's playing so well,
really well, really well. And it's obvious that Gareth Southgate likes him.
Yeah,
yeah. And on that, what about the squad selection as well? Kind of a few expected moves from Southgate, Henderson.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it's kind of what he does now. Yeah, he does have that.
He's really important to that squad. Mm. Like you hear everyone speaking in interviews, and I've listened. I've played against him. I've been on the pitch with him. He is a captain. You know the way he leads on the pitch, and now he'll probably do a lot of it off the pitch as well. But he'll just know how to galvanise the team, the squad, his experience. I just really want to see Foden, Bellingham, and Declan Rice in midfield. That's what I want to see.
I agree.
Man for man, we should be winning this. We've got to go in favourites. And I feel like the squad feel like that as well. The squad feel like it's time to bring a trophy back.
Yeah, and I think this game we'll see, or the two games really, see where we are. So looking forward to them.
So 2-1, 2-1, 2-all.
No, I'm going to change one.
Are you changing it?
Yeah, sorry, you've gone 2-1, so I'm going to change it. I'm going to go with 3-1.
Okay.
All right, which is a big call. Okay.
No, considering it's
Brazil coming to town and I've gone town on them. all right, we'll see. Okay, yeah, and obviously the odds we mentioned there are correct at the time of recording. Please gamble responsibly. France, Germany.
Absolute powerhouses, aren't they? These France, Germany.
Certainly are. France ended their qualifying campaign unbeaten. 7 wins from 8 games.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's the opposite to Germany, huh? Germany struggled, I think, through theirs, and they're a bit inconsistent.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, picked up one win and two losses from the next four games after a five-game winless run.
Beat France at one point to end a winless run of four or five as well. There is a bit of inconsistency there.
Mm. Yeah. Mm. Mm. France are good, though.
Very good.
France look good. Individuals and as a team. It could be dangerous. Yeah.
Germany got Toni Kroos back in the fold, haven't they?
Yeah, he's class, don't get it wrong. On the international stage, I feel like he needs players around him.
Yeah, he does. I think France is too strong here. I've gone France 3, Germany 1.
Is there something in though, being when you're the home nation that is going to host that tournament? Do you find that has an effect on your team's performances?
I think that galvanises you when you're there.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Obviously, they're away in France. I don't think that has any effect on this fixture.
Yeah,
I think when you're in the tournament, definitely helps. No, absolutely no doubt. Mm.
All right, then.
3-1 me.
3-1. All right, well, I've actually wrote down 3-1 as well. Oh. But I will change that and I will go for 3-0 to France, just hoping that Germany don't score.
Which
I don't like going for a...
What will happen if they do score?
You know what happens.
Fucked.
We're fucked.
What is the French for that, actually? That would be...
Das ist fucked.
Yeah. Oh, that's the German version of it.
I put France 3, Germany 0.
Oh, did
as
you?
As well.
Okay.
However, I'm hoping we're all going to go different for the next game that we're going to do, Ecuador, Italy. Because part of me is tempted to...
So you've got 3-0, 3-0, 3-1.
Well, this is the problem. I've got the same score as you and one, same score. Like,
okay, no.
No, you haven't. I changed mine.
Oh, yes. Yeah, true.
All right, I'll change mine.
No.
You keep 3-0.
You just changed it twice.
I'll go 2-0.
2-0 to France.
2-0 to France.
All right, let's move on then. Ecuador, Italy.
Ecuador.
Yeah, who sang that?
Sash.
Ecuador.
That's a great song.
That wasn't true, wasn't it? We played Ecuador, I remember, in the World Cup 2006. I started the first two games, Paraguay, and it was, yeah, we played, it was the knockout stage, wasn't it? And I dropped for the Ecuador game. Good.
Did you?
Did you come on?
He ended up, Rooney was fit. He just played Rooney on his own up front, I think. Did I come on in that one? I don't think I did. Yeah, a bit gutted there. I'm trying to think who scored. I think it might have been Bex.
It's a strange one. They're in good form, it seems. I didn't really know too much about Ecuador.
Mm-hmm.
And naturally, sort of Ecuador. assumed Italy in this. But the more I read about it, the more you realise it's been shaky for Italy since they won the Euros.
This game's in the New York Red Bull Stadium.
There's a lot of factors in this game.
Absolutely no idea.
What's that about?
Well, because they're prepping Ecuador for the Copa America. Yeah.
Is it? Yeah.
Right.
So it's more, I think this is more geared up for Ecuador than Italy, which probably is a factor of my scoreline when it comes down to that.
In Ecuador's team, obviously, you've got Estupiñan, Caicedo.
Yeah.
And obviously with Italy, you've got Adoghi, Vicario, Jorginho, Zaniolo, all represented in the Premier League. I do think Ecuador win this one. They beat Italy 2-1. I've gone for Ecuador. Is that mad? Is that mental?
I've gone Ecuador.
As well.
You?
Yeah. So we've all gone, well, yeah, but we're all shit at this. So maybe one of us should go Italy.
Well, that's actually, do you know what? Because we potentially have another nil pois here, don't we?
Yeah. Change it for the good of it.
For the fucking integrity of this podcast.
Yeah.
Well, what scores have you got first? Let's just go through it. I put Ecuador 2, Italy 0.
That's what I said. Oh, no, 2-1.
I've gone 2-1, but I don't like going the same.
Yeah, but I'm going to change.
Yeah, but I don't want to be the same as Pete. So I'm going to change as well.
I'm going to change to an Italy win.
Are you really?
Yeah.
So you're just... It's completely changing your...
I'm going to go the other way.
That's because you realise how crap podcast, we are.
We need at least 1 point.
Well, so what are you going to go
draw now?
So you
2-1. I'm going Italy 2, Ecuador 1.
Okay. I'm gonna go for a 1-1 draw.
Are you really?
So we're across the board there, aren't
we? All right, we're across the board. All right, nicely done, lads.
Okay.
Nicely done. All right, listen, go safe this international break. I'm sure lots of you will be tuning in to Ecuador, Italy?
Yeah, if you're at Wembley, have a listen out for me on the announcement.
Are you still on that?
Yes. Still on, yeah. I've got to re-record, I think, a couple of them this week.
Yeah. Could you do like one in a kind of Brazilian accent for the Brazilians that are coming?
Will you do it?
I've got absolutely no idea how to be Brazilian, have you?
I don't know how to be Brazilian any more than just we have like carnival music in the back, like make it more lively. I don't know what voice to go with there.
Hey guys.
Just do a quick, hi guys, welcome to Wembley Stadium.
Welcome to Wembley Stadium. Have your tickets ready, please.
That's really good.
Hey Brazil.
Welcome to Wembley and have a long walk home.
It's really good.
Nicely done.
Well done.
All right. There you go. You could probably just keep doing
that. Just cut that.
Yeah, just pencil that in. All right. So I've got an amazing shirt here from Jack. I don't know who's taking the picture. And I don't know what the scenario is. He looks like he's in a car park of some sort. But he's got a San Marino kit on.
Mm.
But this one gets me. He's got Clancy 10 on the back.
World class.
Unbelievable scenes.
Why 10?
Well,
do you think it's because
10 minutes?
Kicks off every 10 minutes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's unreal, isn't it?
How do you feel about that? It's unreal.
I love it.
Yeah,
I'm really proud of that.
Do you give your approval?
I give my total approval.
Do you know what I like about that? That is a one-off.
Yeah.
No one's got that. It's just something very odd about another man having your wife's name on the back of a football shirt.
Yeah, but I think it's good. Like, it's not anything bad, is it? It's because it's a bit of an in joke.
Yeah.
And like no one, I reckon, you know, he's not a San Marino fan. I don't think he would be.
No.
But if he is, great. But I mean, he could be anywhere. He could be in Hull walking around with a San Marino kit on. Nobody really knows unless they listen to the podcast.
Yeah.
Why?
Yeah.
And I love that.
And he's gone to some expense for that probably as well.
It's a good shirt though, isn't it?
Big fan of that, Jack. I'm a huge fan. Well done.
I like that one. One other shirt that really tickled me was that it looks like it's at Selhurst Park. It's definitely a Palace fan because there's someone with Eze next to him. But he's got bald one. So bald and one.
The bald one. And he is bald.
He is.
The man.
Yeah. Bald one.
Yeah. That was sent in from Heather. Thank you very much for that, Heather. Just to finish the podcast, got some great news. It's literally just arrived. Susie Dent has done us another word. So been doing this on a couple of the podcasts, is classic footballing terms, and get her to kind of give the official definition of them.
Mm.
Hi everyone, this week's word is nutmeg, and it's one of the footballing terms I'm asked about the most. So let's start with the dictionary definition. You all know obviously what a nutmeg is, but it's a manoeuvre in which a player kicks the ball between the legs of an opponent, typically then sidestepping them to retain possession. So it's first recorded in the late 1960s as a noun, as the manoeuvre, and then two nutmegs, the verb, came about just a little bit later. Why a nutmeg, though? Well, there are a few theories. The first is that it looks back to the use of the word nutmeg to mean the testicles, and that dates from at least the 1600s. So there's one book I found from that time where someone says, "I'll immediately whip out your nutmegs." And that book, by the way, was called The Lancashire Cuckold, or The Country Parish Clerk Betrayed by a Conjurer's Enchanted Chamber Pot. Let's not even go there. But in other words, nutmegs, like nuts, were your testicles. And if you play between the player's legs, you get the idea. The thing is, there's not quite enough evidence for this yet. Another theory is that nutmeg was such a valuable exotic commodity in the 1800s that some traders would try to pull a fast one and mix in some dummy replicas instead of the real thing. And so to nutmeg someone was to deceive them, and no player likes to be made a fool of or deceived by being nutmegged. It's a lovely story, but you know what I'm going to say, there's no real evidence for it. Finally, there's a really lovely suggestion, and a simple one, that nutmegs was Cockney rhyming slang for legs. So what can I say? The detective work goes on. My money is on the testicles. But please don't take that sentence out of context.
Super.
Great work,
well,
Susie.
Well, Susie, thank you very, very much. I love these. I absolutely love them. She explains it so well.
I've been waiting for that one. Nutmeg.
It's not just the definition, it's the history of it that I think is fascinating, because all these terms start somewhere, don't they? Even the Lancashire cuckold, who would have thought?
Yeah, who would have thought? Incredible.
Who would have thought?
Interesting. Maybe we can get a copy of that. Interesting.
What, the Lancashire cuckold?
Yeah. It was a magazine, was it? Or a book?
If you assume it was a magazine.
it was a book. Don't know what it was.
We'll try to get hold of a copy. But if you want Susie to explore more words, let us know and we'll definitely put them to her. Lot to learn. What other phrases is there anything that you spotted this week? Someone having their pants down. Like, that would be good to maybe get the history on that.
Have we done hat-trick, brace?
Hat-trick, brace. Hat-trick's good.
Hat-trick.
What did I write down? Pizzazz, daisy cutter.
Daisy cutter.
History of chance. You know, like some chance, where did they originate from? Mm. You know, like you fat bastard, for instance. Like, what? Who was
We could do, yeah.
Stuff like that, you know. The corridor of uncertainty. Waxing lyrical.
Yes.
What about waxing lyrical?
Yeah. Yeah, that's good.
It's good, isn't it?
Yeah.
All right.
We'll get on Susie then.
Nice.
Thanks a lot, Susie. Thanks for listening. We'll be back Wednesday.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary. Not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
This episode is brought to you by aloadofpricks.net. We are the experts in selling houses. Chris couldn't sell his house. What did you do, Chris?
I couldn't sell my house for love nor money, Crouchy. Three different offers I had, all at the last minute, fell through. I turned around to my wife and said, "What can we do to sell this house? Every estate agent is failing us." Then I told her, "Let's go to aloadofpricks.net."
But Chris, what did a load of pricks do for you?
They were brilliant, Crouchy. They sold my house right away. The sign had barely gone up when a well-dressed gentleman came along and offered me twice the asking price.
Chris, would you use a load of pricks again?
I'd use them every time, Crouchy.
Go to loadofpricks.net. They will sell your house like no other. Load of pricks, loadofpricks.net.